Scripture reading is from 1 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13. 1 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it.
Thank you, Cody, for that reading. And I also want to thank the elders for giving me this opportunity to speak to you all. It is a very rare chance for me to do this, and I always look forward to it. Keep your fingers marked to the verse that Cody read for you all, and turn back with me to Romans, the third chapter, and verse 23. Romans, chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. We will all have to remember the fact that we've done this, that we have wronged our Savior, that we needed His death on the cross to save us. But He has allowed us to be forgiven by sending His Son to die on the cross, allowing us to be saved. But after we are saved, we can still fall. We are all still tempted on a day-to-day basis. Turn back to the verse that Cody read for us, 1 Corinthians 10, 12 through 13. And I will reread that. Therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. We clearly see here that we will be tempted, but God never makes it where we cannot succeed and escape from this temptation. We can always find a way out. But He makes a way of escape. He doesn't give you the way of escape. We gotta find it ourselves. If you don't, then you will fall. So tonight, I'm going to have us look at three different examples. One of a person that he was tempted, but he did not fall at all. Then a person that he was tempted, but he did fall. But then he realized his wrongs and came back. And the third is one that did wrong and he did not repent. So, for the first example, let us turn to Job, the second chapter, verses 9 through 10. Job, chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. I can find it myself. Then his wife said to him, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity? Curse God and die." But he said to her, "You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Job was a man that he saw many things happen in his life to him. He lost his family, and he lost all his earthly possessions. And then Satan also took his health after that. Well, the only person that Job had to turn to was his wife, the one person that should always be there for him. And yet she herself told him that he should just curse God and die. But yet Job, he did not commit sin against God. He still did not curse him. He followed him, not knowing why these things were happening to him, just that he needed to follow God. Well, he did this, and at the end of his life, he was rewarded. In Job chapter 42, verses 12 through 17, Job, the 42nd chapter, verses 12 through 17. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jimna, the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Keren-Hapuk. In all the land were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job, and their fathers gave them an inheritance among their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. So Job died old and full of days. Here we see that he lived his life serving God, and then he was rewarded for it. He didn't ever figure out why he was suffering all these things, but because he followed what God wanted him to do, he was rewarded at the end of his life. He got to live an extra 140 years after this whole situation of him losing everything. And he got to see 4 generations of his kids and grandkids. And then, if we serve God like Job did, we too will also be rewarded. In Revelations, the 22nd chapter and verse 12. Revelations 22, verse 12. And behold, I am coming quickly. My reward is with me, to give to everyone according to his work. Here we're seeing that we will be rewarded as long as we serve God with our actions, that we're putting forth the effort to serve him. But if we're not serving him, then we do not get a reward. We will just be going to hell and spending eternity with the devil. Now let us look at the person that he sins, but he returns to God. Let us look at Peter in Mark chapter 14, verses 67 through 71. Mark 14, verses 67 through 61. Uh, And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you are saying." And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again, and began to say to those who stood by, "This is one of them." But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." Peter was a man that he walked with God. When Jesus told him that Jesus was going to Jerusalem to die, he rebuked Jesus and told Jesus that he would not allow it. And then Jesus told him that he would allow Jesus to die, and that with that, he'd also deny Jesus. Here we also see that when he, in verse 71, he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." Here we're seeing that he not only denied Jesus, but he blasphemed his name. But later on, we see that he repents, that he turns his life around and goes back to God, becoming one of the 12 apostles. But then later on, he falls again in Galatians, the second chapter, verses 11 through 13. Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. "Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy." We see that one of the apostles who helped deliver God's message to the whole world, he was not strong enough that he never sinned. So we all have to be on guard that we do not follow in the same suit of falling into peer pressure and then from the peer pressure, commit sin. But he repented from this too, and after he was rebuked by Paul, you never hear of this subject of him committing sin and drawing in others to also believe this. But now we'll look at the last person on this list, the one that he did fall to a trial, but he never got back up. We'll look at Acts, the first chapter, verses 16 through 17. Acts chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. "Men and brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry." So, like Peter, he got to serve at the feet of Jesus. He had one of the greatest chances of success because he got to sit at the feet of the master and listen to him talk. And yet, he still did not do what God wanted. Instead, he betrayed Jesus and he sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. Let us look at John, the 12th chapter, and verse 6. John, chapter 12, and verse 6. Then he said, not that he cared for the poor. Oh. Verses 4 through 6. My bad. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. So, when he betrayed Jesus, this wasn't the first time that he did a sin against God. Throughout the whole time of serving with Jesus, he was still committing sin. He was stealing the money that was meant to go to the poor when he should have just been taking the money and saving it. Let us turn to Luke chapter 22, verses 47 through 48, and we will read about his betrayal. Luke, the 22nd chapter, verses 47 through 48. And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? The action of going and not just betraying Jesus, but he led them to Jesus. And then to signify who Jesus was, he was going to kiss him. An action of love, and yet he was using it to show his betrayal. But in Matthew, the 27th chapter, we will see what became of Judas. Matthew, the 27th chapter, verses 3 through 5. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. We see that he was truly sorrowful for what he had done, but he did not repent. He went and killed himself instead. So instead of repenting like he should have done, he lost his soul, and he can't ever be forgiven for that, because Jesus is the only way for forgiveness, and he lost that when he chose to kill himself instead of repenting. So, as a conclusion, have you been like the example of Job? Have you lived your life serving God, even though you've been tempted, have you stayed strong? Have you not fallen down? Or have you been like Peter? You've fallen, but you realize you're wrong, and then you get back up. Or are you like Judas? Did you do something, and you just did not think there was any turning back? And then you won't repent. Well, if that is the case, then come forward. Let your sins be known. We will forgive. We will bring you forth, or we will pray with you. We will pray. We will serve God together. But we need you to come forward so we know. And if you have been living your life in sin, not being a servant of God, you can come forward and be baptized for the remission of your sins. So come forward as we stand and sing.